Good morning, church. As my husband has mentioned, we miss you so much. Everybody who comes into this building is a treasure. It's a wonderful thing to see their faces. You can see me on TV, but I can't see you, so I miss it, seeing you. As my husband said, I believe this time is very useful for us, because in this time, we are urged to join the Christ Himself, even if you don't have the building, you don't have a brother and sister by you. But Christ will always stay with us. This is the good news. And we will never be separated from Him. And no government law has the power to separate you from the Christ Himself. So we are very blessed people. Today, take yourself to the comfortable place, leave your soup if you are cooking, and sit as you would sit in the church, because this is the time which is your and God's. This is the communication between you and God. You can't eat, listen with one ear, vacuum your floor, wipe the dust. It's unrespectable attitude towards God. So develop this habit to separate this hour to the Lord and listen to what His Spirit is talking to the church for us all. I will reveal a secret to you, how to remain in the first love for God or your spouse, or if you have lost, maybe you departed from that first love to God and your spouse, I will teach you how to return, come back, and I trust God will speak to each of us. The secret is revealed in the Gospel of John, 15-16 chapter. It defines everything I want to say to you today. So I would like to read to you the passage. So Jesus says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the true vine owner. The branch which gives fruit, He cleans. The one which doesn't bring fruit, He cuts off. Remain in me, and as a branch can't bring the fruit by itself, if it doesn't remain in me, in true vine, whoever remains in me brings a lot of fruit, because without me you can't do anything. Who will not remain in me, he will be thrown out and burnt. If you remain in me, and my words will remain in you, you ask whatever you want, you will get what you ask, and my Father will be glorified by the fruits you will bring. As my Father loved me, I loved you. Father loved us first. Now He has loved us first. With everything you have, with your errors and your sins. When you were his enemy, he loved you. So God says, remain in my love. If you follow my laws, you will remain in my love the same as I do. I have told you this in order to keep my joy in you. This is the law and order to love each other as I have loved you. There's no greater love as the one when you give your life for your friends. And you are my friends if you do what I ask you to do. I call you my friends because I have told you everything what I have heard from my Father. And then he says, this is my command, love each other. If you have a look at the chapter 16, Jesus says, he talks there about the Holy Spirit from the 7th verse. But verily, truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, Comforter, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. In these excerpts, there is the secret. And today, I'll mention two of the most important things. I will emphasize the second one, though both of them are equally important. So the first thing is, talking about the first love, especially God's love, it's not us that first fell in love with God. The scripture says he fell in love with us first. He the first started be affectioned by you. Even when you were sunk in your sins, you turned your back on him. God doesn't feel that disgust about you, because he loves you. He calls you his child. He showed the first that you are very valuable by his actions, going on the cross to the place we had to take when we didn't take care of him. He went for you. And for you, whatever your name is, maybe you're even cursing him or saying that he does not exist. He went on the cross thinking about you. He desired communion with you. He was dreaming about you turning back to him, taking that trip, road together with you. He was dreaming about helping you, comforting, being best friend for you. I know that we didn't think about that, but he did. He had us in mind. Wherever you are, say this. He had me in mind when he went on the cross, and I have done nothing in order God to love me. I did nothing to have such a great value in order to die for me. This is God's love. We have not earned this. We will never be able, whatever we do. This is given to us by grace. This is God, who is love. He has desire to share what he has. And the scripture says, remain in my love. Remain in my love. It's not that you are inspiring yourself. Understand that you are already being loved. No money, no career, no man can add to you something or take away what Christ has said about you. You are worthy for Christ to be sacrificed for you. You are a subject of affection to God. He created you like this. It has always been like that. Maybe you don't see, but God teaches you to accept it by faith. And to this trip of love, God asks you and gives every day this love, this understanding that it is okay with you. You are being loved. So wait for good things from God. This is the first leg, figuratively speaking, if you want to stand strong on your foot. Repeat this, God loves me, and I have done nothing in order to get his love, and I will not be able to do it. God doesn't support all my actions, but I'm acceptable in his sight, and I am lovable. I'm loved. God fights for me every day, even when I depart from him. His love keeps me, not my love to him keeps me. So first, we give away what we have got from him. We can't give away anything what we haven't got. We have to learn this every day, to remind ourselves this and walk in this. Very often I don't feel like that I'm being loved by God, valuable, acceptable. Very often I feel like a loser. I don't have energy, I don't want to live. But every time when I remind myself that God loves me, I'm valuable in his eyes, maybe it's useful to take the mirror. I used to take mirror. Get up in the morning, I used to say to myself, Vilma, do you understand when you look messy in the morning? Vilma, God loves you. You are very valuable. So I used to look at the mirror, at myself, at that messy and happy image, and I would say to myself these things, Vilma, you are very blessed. God decided to go on the cross for you. And maybe in the beginning, your brain doesn't catch it very quickly, but your heart does, and you will feel how God's energy fills you up. As a branch, you will understand that without his love, you will not be able to make any move. Please understand that Holy Spirit is the most significant person in you and me, which wakens up our heart, reminds us, fills up also with feelings. You can ask him to help you to remember, to remind you, revelation that you are really valuable and lovable. This is, figuratively speaking, that one leg on which you stand, and the other leg for your support. And the scripture says about this, if you want to remain in the first love and you want it to grow and being limitless as the scripture says, no height, no width. It has no limits when you remain in it. First, you remain on His work in the on the cross, and the second step is, I will tell it very slowly, do every day, learn every day to do what love says to you in your heart, with Holy Spirit raises up. As the sister gave this morning a testimony, sometimes in small things, when you're, for example, choosing or picking up from the floor in the shop, for example, some fallen goods, if you feel the surge in small things, do it. Because every time when you follow God's lead in details, when you have the Word of God in your heart, first of all, Holy Spirit will never urge you to do something what is not based on the Word. So Holy Spirit, if you recognize it, is urging you to do something, do it. Because the love which is in you will grow. Because if you ask somebody, when people obey after Holy Spirit urged them, the joy fills them. Do what Holy Spirit says to you, and you will lack nothing in joy. Every time when you do God's will, when you know what you should do, the love of God fills your heart. On the contrary, if you want to kill love, in one cell group, a lady mentioned the word to kill the love. So if you want to kill love, don't do. Don't do what you know you should do. Just because it's not convenient, you might look silly. You can invest yourself into religious activities. You will do some other things about which you decide that you will do. What is that thing which we call negatively religion in this context? It's the other spirit which makes you to do things on your own, even sometimes related with the Word of God, but it's a rebellious thing because you might not do what God wants, but what you want to do. And you grow bigger bonds on you because God leads you to the trip, which is childly faith. If you can imagine going together, only two of you, God and you, and if you hear your friend saying, turn to the right, even if you planned to turn to other side, you will listen and do what your friend says, because this is how you will show your love towards friend. You can feel love. Maybe it's not a new thing for you. Of course, love is not a feeling only. The scripture doesn't teach us to feel, speaking about love. No, it's more decision and choice to do something because you love the other, and always at the cost at the cost for you. You might feel sometimes uncomfortable obeying God. You might have to open your hands and leave something what you are holding on to. You have to overstep your flesh when the Holy Spirit asks you to follow. Love is action. When you remain in those actions, so very often the feeling comes along. The Word says, remain in my love, do what I teach you, in order to have full joy. Because the joy comes from Holy Spirit to your spirit. When we remain in our resistance as rebels and we do something for God, but we do it separated from Him, we haven't bent our neck before God, bitterness grows, not the joy. I've met people who say good, correct things about God, and you see big heads and small hearts. And it's very cold to stay by such a person. You want to run away, and you can see people who have heads of normal size and have grand hearts. Because they don't boast, these things are their daily things. He doesn't speak only about God. He doesn't strive. He just lives with God. And it's been said that people will recognize God when they see love between you. This morning, when I was thinking about the word I will deliver to you, I remembered some events. One happened some months ago when I saw one of our brothers, which came to visit us, and he had several cups of coffee and gigantic face, smiling, big smile on his face. Because he knew that my husband loves Costa coffee, and people who were working and helping us in our house, knowing this, he spent his money, bought coffee, and brought this coffee to us. And there was no lack of joy in him, because he got this thought into his head, bought a coffee and brought it to us. And his smile was from one ear to the other. The face was radiant. He felt so good because he was more blessed. He was not killing love. He spread this love among other people. I was watching it through my window, how people are sharing the coffee. And my heart also filled with joy. And I said, God, tell me what to do to other people. I'm not saying that we have to create it in our hearts, but if we have that childish faith, God is leading us if we follow it. God's love is growing in us. We become stronger. And vice versa, every time when we feel that urge to call to somebody, to buy a coffee, small things, and you say, oh, that's so inconvenient, I have to turn from my way I'm going now. You know that I'm saying the truth to you. In your heart, if you don't obey, you don't allow God's love to be revealed, and the joy has been quenched, and you might even develop a habit to resist to God. And God knows, maybe you will reach some dark places, egoistic places, because you are killing yourself in this way. You want to kill your marriage? Live thinking only about yourself. And if somebody takes this from the context, I'm telling you very plainly now, don't live in that place. This is the poison when you live in the place like that. God didn't change his opinion, but this is relationship both ways in marriage and between you and God. Friends, church, God says, do my will every day. There is written what is God's will. You have to renew your mind every day to take care how to fulfill every day it, because God gives us ability and power to do things which we are not able to do with our own strength, because Holy Spirit is in us. The secret is not only to keep, but also to renew and to get back to the first love, both in relationship with God and relationship with your spouse. So start doing what you know you should do, what you ought to do because of your spouse. Maybe God is calling you to the ministry and you turned your back. Return, do what you believe you should do, and you know deep in your heart God is asking to do you, even if you fear doing this. I am sensitive, and I, every time when I take microphone, I'm nervous. But I know that I don't want to be a person which resists to God. I don't want to live like that. He has done too much for me in order to stay in my resistance. Coming to an end of the sermon, speaking about the second step, which says love each other, I want to widen this understanding. When you stand in the place when I meet families who has love which is not hot, it has become cold, and people live egoistically and they killed the love. Now look, if we want to return this love back, it is possible, yes. I talked to one lady which said, there's nothing between me and my husband. I see only divorce. And she was asking me, is it possible to come back to that first love? And I said, yes, it is possible if both of you will decide to do what God says to each of you to do. You will get more than you can imagine. So the first thing is start praying. Start praying for your spouse. If we are not talking about the marriage, start praying for your enemies, for your friends. Start praying for them. Stop murmuring. Start praying. Don't wait, Holy Spirit, to urge you. If you don't, you will murmur. When something is wrong, start praying and blessing. Your wife, husband, stop talking bad things. Stop cursing in his face. Think how he doesn't love you or she doesn't love you. If you don't look at other people with lust, if you are married, you have the spouse, this is the work. You will have to overstep your flesh, but it's worthy, and your children's children will be thankful that you loved each other and you were growing your love. This is the will of God, and it's possible. So the first thing is, stop murmur, start praying. The second step is, when you are praying now for somebody, for your neighbor, spouse, friend, let God pay attention to what God's Spirit says to you. God shows things which are happening in your heart. Because if you are bringing fruit, God circumcises you. And God will show things which He wants to take away from your heart. And when you let Him show it, He will make you free. And the third step is, now listen. Do what Holy Spirit urges you to do. If God urges you to make coffee every morning to your husband, do it. Doesn't matter that you don't feel like this. We're not talking about feelings, we're talking about love. Don't watch too much Hollywood films, because they have perverted the picture of real love. What we see in those films, it's a perversion. This is the exaltation of ego, the pride of a man. And we see what is the result of it. We have ruined families, torn nests, because God is calling to the action. Do you hear me? God is calling you to the action, starting from small things. Every morning do it. Because love, when you perform it, it doesn't expect to get something back. I'm sure that the brother which brought coffee to us was not expecting the other day to get back the same coffee as a reward. Every time when you do such things, joy and love fills your heart. You want to do something more like this because you feel good, because God created us to live in love and share love, to break the bread and share the love. Your heart becomes more sensitive. You get bigger revelation from God's heart. And finishing the message, if you have listened to my previous sermons, I have talked about my neighbor. We now live in a new place. And our neighbors are wonderful that live around. We have never had problems before it. It was really misunderstanding. In this new place, our new neighbor hardened his heart, and I hardened my heart. And I remember those moments when I had the choice to curse him and be right on certain questions, because he was wrong, or I will choose to act based on love. So I remember the first days after certain events, I would see the guy and I felt like hit by electricity. I didn't want to meet him. Our windows were in front of his windows. When I was washing my face in the morning, I could see him very often in his garden, and I had that bad feeling. And I knew if I don't move in love, I will harden my heart and I will live forever in that place with hardened heart, talking about that neighbor. It would be nice to live in that place, but this guy spoils everything. No, don't think like that. We have the power of love. I'll repeat it. You have love. Doesn't matter that you don't feel it. You have God's spirit in you. So I made a decision. I don't want to follow fleshly road. I started praying and blessing. My heart became warmer and warmer. I started meeting him, and I even felt fun. And God, during that time, he was showing what I had in my heart. He showed what is in the pastor's heart. I was so ambitious. I couldn't understand how could he behave like that. I wanted to show him something, and I had to die. My flesh had to die. I had to overstep it and say, this is not the will of God. And the second step was to do good. So as much situations as we had, I knew one day I will talk to him. So one day, when he was building his new house, I went out and I said, oh, what a beautiful house you're building, because he was a man who was working in construction. So God taught me how to say small things to him, good things. So he started to talk to me. And yesterday when he was passing by, he blew up car's horn, so to say. He made that signal of sound, seeing me, and I was rejoicing that the love has conquered both us, and I didn't remain as a bad woman who was right in her own eyes. But if you act based on your flesh, no title which you wear, maybe you can be even a pastor, it will not save you. So I was sure that love conquers everything in its way.